This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When you're the economist for the Vermont legislature, sometimes you have to deliver unwelcome news to lawmakers. That's what Tom Cavett did a few weeks back when he told state lawmakers that state revenues this fiscal year are now forecast to be about $28 million less than the legislature and the governor had been counting on. VPR's Peter Hirschfeld spoke with Tom Cavett and asked him if that downgrade was due to a flagging economy or if other factors were involved.
The economy is not a whole lot different. There's been a little bit of a downgrade based on a slight upgrade that occurred in December in the general macroeconomic forecast that we use. That assumed a Trump bump in the economy, a little bit more optimism post-election. But that has been adjusted down. So there's a little bit slower growth than had been anticipated, but not a major change in the underlying economic fundamentals. Most of that adjustment that occurred is the result of technical changes in individual forecast elements and changes during legislative session that have been made.
Give us an example of something that the legislature did that has resulted in them getting less revenues this fiscal year than they would have otherwise been able to count on.
There are many things that occurred during a session that have to do with assumptions about either revenues or expenditures. In the last session, there was a large motor vehicle fee bill, for example, and there was a lot less revenue that was yielded from that than expected in the last fiscal year. That's part of why motor vehicle fee revenues were lower, and there's a bit of a downgrade in the transportation fund. So when their tax law changes, there's a lot of uncertainty sometimes around that, and that becomes a part of the forecast too. So there is a little bit less money that is based on slightly slower growth in the overall economy, but there are also a lot of technical adjustments that occur. Just to put it in perspective, I mean, this is across all three funds about a 1% change, 1.5% change, and that kind of true-up is not unusual. It would be nice if it was on the other side of the ledger, if it was positive and there was more money, but our objective function is a forecast right down the middle, and it ends up being about 50-50 high and low. And this is a relatively small adjustment, even though I recognize that the $12.5 million, which was the number that was in the budget reconciliation that needed to be achieved, is still difficult to find, even in a budget of $1.5
billion. Tom, you talked earlier about that so-called Trump bump that was supposed to come after the November election. Why were so many economists so bullish on the prospect of near-term economic growth in the wake of Donald Trump's election?
Well, I don't know that there was widespread bullishness. It was a fairly minor adjustment up, but I think there was an expectation that there would be infrastructure spending and also lower taxes. So that would produce a short-term stimulus to the economy. I think there was fear around some of what might be done on trade, that there'd be longer-term negative effects, but I think the sense was there'd be some short-term stimulus. The way the legislative process has worked around healthcare has not produced a lot of optimism with respect to quick tax changes. I think that's still likely, and there will be some effects from that, but there's a lot more uncertainty about what might be achieved legislatively. And also the talk about the infrastructure spending has involved some public-private combinations that would not necessarily be as stimulative to the economy as if it was just a public sector spending package. So that's the reason for backing off that early optimism.
When you look at the economic trend lines in Vermont, what do you see that causes you the most anxiety about where we as a state are headed economically?
A lot of the economic forecasts that we do derive from demographics. So we spend a fair amount of time looking at demographics and trying to understand what's happening with demographic trends. And there's been a slowing in population growth. It's been basically flat at a total statewide level for 5 or 6 years. And this last recession was incredibly severe. I think people don't really appreciate the extent to which this could have been a 1929 type event had there not been the kind of federal government response that occurred, both with the Fed and with fiscal policy that was pursued. But it's still left deep, deep scars in a lot of areas. And one of the areas that was sort of the epicenter of the downturn was real estate. It made it hard for people to sell their homes. The value of their homes declined. This is the largest single asset that most people have. And if you're going to relocate and move, it involves selling your home. And Vermont population growth has always benefited from net in-migration. So we have people leave the state every year and people that come in. Usually the number of people coming in exceeds the number of people leaving. We don't have a high birth rate, so we're not growing as much through births. And that net in-migration becomes really important. That dropped off precipitously during the recession. And home price declines had a lot to do with that. We expected to see that thawing as home prices gradually come back. That's got to happen in a regional level because it's not just one state that people are coming from. And that's been a very slow cycle. It took 9 years for real estate prices, home prices, to come back to where they were at the last cyclical peak. That's the longest cycle in real estate that we've ever had. So anyway, that's a longer-term concern. Population growth is slow. It's not that that's bad in and of itself. It's just that it's difficult to manage government expenditures when you don't have growth occurring. We've seen this with education, declines in student populations, how difficult it is for state and local government to manage expenses down when the served population is declining.
Any real good news stories in the latest economic report, things that you look at that are cause for optimism in the future?
This has been a very slow, long recovery. But the longer it goes, the better things get. It could be happening a lot faster. The distribution of the benefits could be a lot fairer. We've seen a lot of income land in corporate income instead of personal income. Wage growth has been very, very slow. But after a long period of growth, labor markets do start to tighten. Wages are starting to go up. Inflation has been very low, so the Federal Reserve doesn't need to be stepping in and putting the brakes on anytime soon. And we're starting to see the kinds of rebound in some areas that you expect as things start to get better like this. For example, in construction markets, we had more than $1 billion in new construction contracts awarded in the last 12 months ending in May. The mix of those is very different. We only had about $300 million in residential construction. That's usually the biggest component. This time we had over $440 million in what's called non-building construction, things like roads, highways, electric power, the like. $80 million of that was a wind farm down in Deerfield that started. There's some other projects like that that are in the wings. Things like that happen as the economy recovers over a longer period of time. There'll be things like that that start to occur. Vermont's unemployment rate is also throughout this, both the downturn and on the way back up, has been relatively low. We've been in the top 10 states for most of this whole time, and you know, that's a plus.
You mentioned that we're starting to see wages grow. One of the big conversations around this most recent economic expansion is that it's been great for people who are well off, not so much for your average working person. A lot of talk about income inequality, a lot of talk about the average working person getting left behind. Is that a trend that you think we're going to start to see reverse now?
No, I don't. There's not so much that can be done at the state level, but at the federal level, it's a serious issue because at the core of this is equality of opportunity. And for an economy to be as strong as it can be, society has to utilize the human resources that exist from the entire population. If college is only available to rich kids and relatively well-off families, we're going to miss the development of a lot of brain power that exists among people that can't afford college. And there's been growing income inequality. This recovery has not corrected that. It's likely to continue to persist without policies that are really directed towards ameliorating it.
You know, you talk about public policy levers that can be pulled to improve the economy. You talk about the difference between what can be done at the federal level and the state level. You talk to almost any elected office holder in Vermont, and they'll tell you economic prosperity is at the top of their agenda. But when it comes down to it, you know, I want to get your take from an economist perspective. Is there anything that state-level policymakers can do to meaningfully and perceptibly improve the economy here in a way that people are going to feel? Or are we basically at the whim of more powerful external economic forces like the federal government that are just outside our purview here?
Most of the really big currents are outside of our purview. And I think you need to have a very humble attitude as a state government official in terms of what you can actually do. Elected officials are blamed if things go poorly. When things go well, quite often it does have more to do with larger external currents than any specific thing that's done. That said, you know, there are things that still can be done at a state level.
For example?
In terms of economic development, you might look at a state like Vermont and say, well, it's got a cold climate. You know, what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses of that? It's not located in the center of the country, so we're not going to be a warehouse distribution site, you know, for Amazon like you might get if you're in Tennessee or someplace like that. But it has a, in economic parlance, a high amenity factor, which means that it is generally perceived as an attractive place to live. And if you have capabilities that allow people to start businesses in areas where you don't have to have proximity to market, for example, a lot of the digital businesses that are growing very, very quickly, you need to make sure you have the infrastructure that supports that. So internet access with reasonably fast broadband, and we do not have that throughout the state. There are areas that are solid and good, and there are many, many areas that are deficient, is the kind of economic development platform and infrastructure that then will lead to job growth in those high growth areas. You know, that could be a whole show sometime.
And we'll have it at some point. Tom Kvett, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you, Peter.
That was Peter Hirschfeld talking with Tom Kvett, economist for the state legislature.